We got the approach that we got. My kid is bigger than me. And kid down is for 2 minutes. We are not the only one that got us. I'm still getting us to that. The only thing that I do with kid down, which I walk and with pride and with confidence, is adoration. The only thing that I was when I was young, so all those thoughts about. So that's the only thing that I am familiar with. On a most note, I think we welcome you, hoping that you really do understand why we have invited you. And because in the challenge that engulfed our country through the challenges of mental health in housing. We then said it was a wake up call. We will all understand that mental health has always been a and it's not only what is happening in South Africa, it's a global phenomenon. But for us, it has been that our ordinary people are interested in our global, on our technologies, on how our English, what they are interested in, how they are their relatives, their children, their parents who happen to be suffering from mental illness are going to be serviced. And the institutions for that matter, the human resource and whatever. So we decided as a committee to say let them invite provinces so that we understand what is transpiring. But it's not only going to be, it's not going to end here. Inviting you, we will still visit provinces. Focus will be on mental institutions. So we are doing that because we are now at the stage of not saying why is Gauteng doing this. Why we ask ourselves what are the lessons that we are to draw from that, so that as we move forward, having learned from that, and we will understand that provinces will have different challenges. So we want to be here from you. So that's why an emphasis from my side is that what are the lessons, and that we are going to visit your province in terms of mental health challenges in the country. Having said that, because we are two provinces that have invited today, and we have invited, this is the only venue that we got. Our apologies, but on Tuesday all venues are occupied by other committees, so we are going to be here, and I see that there are only two roving mics. I'm not quite sure. I will request the secretariat to just check that, because it's going to be a challenge if we've got only, I don't know where the second one, but with this one, if they can be three, if possible, I will humbly request that. Having said that, I will then go to the formalities of our meeting. I am Linda Rotomba, I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. At the extreme end of my left hand side is Ms. Noga Zimachalamba, who is the secretary of the committee, No, why should we get there? Next to him is a son that is talking to us in the Congress caucus. We have only an opposite. I guess an extreme right is Mr. Zubair, who's part of our research team. We have got two of our members there, ourselves, Ms. Ngomane and Mr. Nwabe, that have been requested to go to Free State to do groundwork, preparing for taking Parliament to province, which is going to be more focused in time. So that's why they are not with us today. Having said that, I will give honourable members the mic that will pass to each other for them to introduce themselves. Thank you very much. Over to you, honourable members.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Maisela, member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, committee member Walmart's James.
Good morning, Member Wodi. My name is Ishma Shaleta.
Good morning, Member Wodi. My name is Lumi Swachin.
We will then request how you do the introduction on the MC friends of you. We'll then hand over to you for the introduction. I do think that is the mic.
That's right. Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, honourable member. Chair, thank you very much. In the National Assembly, I'm getting once to come and account and sit on the opposite chair. I used to be able to sit where your seat is and then the seat beside. But thank you very much to invite us on this very important country topic. The country is talking about. But we appreciate your invitation and so that you try to get a clear understanding in the field of what is the standing or our situation where we are. And then, as you said, check whether there are good lessons that we can learn out of this matter that is happening in our country. We really again want to welcome the committee on the oversight in the Free State, and I'm sure you're going to have water. James, there's no water in the Free State, there's an abundance of water there. Raining and then getting floods, so I can think it down here. And also the physical visit to places that the committee is going to visit, that I'm sure in the province they're working very hard so that they can. When you arrive there, everything ready for you to take them so that you can see what is happening there. Chair, the mental health as part of the health aspect, I always argue with the minister that health is not cheap, health is expensive. Mental health is about, it's not about a gadget, it's about human being looking at another human being touching the human. And there is no way that we can think that what happened in other places, the machine or the gadget can correct the situation. Us as human beings, and therefore, I always argue that the issue of the downscaling of the personnel in health is a disaster. What should happen is that the health must be staffed properly so that at any given time, when the committee asks what is happening, we must be sure that those things that we are reporting on are things that are real and human beings are there to mitigate and disrupt that could occur. But Chair, on my extreme left, the young chair there with the green head is the head of our department, is Dr. Mdau. Next to Dr. Mdau, there's a little lady here next to me, and the chief director is Dr. Langer. Then we have a DDG, who happens to be my homeboy. Nothing about important to close. I was there when I was chased away from Cape Town to go to the precinct. It's Basi Pulelo. There's a young gentleman there with a white head who's sitting up there with spectacles. We're calling him Professor Pretorius. He's the head of our psychiatry. Institution in the precinct. Then we have the CEO, the lady next to me here, the CEO of our precinct psychiatry complex is the Mayor Seboka. Yes, we need to say Mayor Seboka. So I think Mayor Ishu, this is a difficult thing, Mary Shoot. I think she's aware that I'm breaking my tongue to call Mary Shoot. Mary Shoot is also in the mental health institution with our project. I think this is a team that is accompanying us. I've just tried to be specific, zoom on what is the terms of reference by the committee around institutions called psychiatric or health, mental health. Thank you.
Thank you very much, MC. We have got some people that have not been said who they are. They will have to tell us themselves who they are.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Gaston Mapalle. I'm with the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning, Chair and Committee. My name is Thabo Lethoro, and I'm here to represent, I'm here independently, in public, and I'm interested in this matter of public health in as much as it concerns how, I think, after the Gauteng example, provinces are proactive about finding, getting a sense of what the state of mental health in other provinces.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Sukhisa Jahan, the private secretary to the Ministry of the State.
We are the private secretary to the Ministry of the State. And he didn't introduce us. That's on a lighter note. Here at the ground, there are rules. This is the time to ask questions. Oh, sorry.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Cindy Lesolda from National Department of Health.
Morning, honourable chair and honourable members. I'm Mel Preen, the chief director for non-communicable diseases, which includes mental health at the National Department of Health.
Thank you, Chair. Let's be seen as the intruder. Just to say, Cindy is from the Director General's Office. I'm Jeanette Hunter, the Deputy Director General for Primary Health Care at the National Office.
Thank you very much, sir, for that. For those that are parties of the department or the committee, ground rules are our phones are on site and must be silent for everybody. Guests or visitors don't ask questions, don't respond. They will ask questions at an appropriate time only with grateful to that's in the meeting, but in the proceeding protocol, that they don't do. What we will then now do, we will hand over to the MC and his team, who starts how you make a presentation. It's not, it's one of the to that, to the head over to you. Thank you very much. Oh, before that, I am sensitized by the government secretary that said
Thank you very much, Chair, honorable members of the committee, the MEC, MEC Mutana Fonseca, colleagues from the National Department of Health, colleagues from my department in the Free State. Chair, let me quickly start with the apologies, as you have already indicated, that certainly we are late. It is not, it was not by, choice. We had some minor challenges, minor steps, which we dealt with. Certainly, I was late to try the COVID and transport my stuff. So I had to contend with the case tonic on the road, which we did with our own. Secondly, Chair, I also want to apologize in as far as the presentation is concerned. There have been some changes, but it's not major changes. It's only the rearrangement of slides, and one slide was also taken off because it was repeating each other. Chair, thank you very much for inviting the department, under the leadership of the MEC, Mr. Fonseca. Mental health has become quite a focal point in the country, in our country, and obviously for wrong reasons. We would have loved to come here to report to Chair of the committee of the good practices that provinces are doing. But unfortunately, we found ourselves in that situation, which I think is a situation for all of us in the country. Chair, my presentation is going to be outlined as follows on the screen. I hope honorable members at the very best are able to speak. We're going to have an overview and introduction and background. We're going to touch on the health system governance and accountability model. This is the model that we adopted in the Free State on how we're going to run health services in our province. And then we're going to briefly touch on the service platform in the province. And we'll look into the central health services facilities. And then we will quickly browse around the legislative mandate and relevant norms and standards. From there, we will look at the phased implementation of establishment as a directory. And then we will go and look at the service provided at specialized facilities, which in this case, the Free State are actually complex, including outreach services. We will then deal with the mental health services at the other designated facilities, and of course, psychiatric services in general hospitals and district mental health services, and then we'll look at the role of mental health review boards in the Free State, and then we will look at the psychiatric services in the primary health care, private facilities licensed to provide mental health services, the collaboration with the Department of Social Development, as we would all know that social development is also key in this regard. And then we'll then look at the community-based mental health services, and then we will round it up by looking at the challenges and the steps to be taken as we conclude. Chair, the first slide, there was also a challenge with the numbering of slides, which we corrected this morning. And I must also say that you are never ready until you present, Chair. The first slide, which I think is number three on the screen there, is trying to depict as to how the Free State Department of Health has prioritized mental health as a principal diagnosis. Then we put that in better comments because we know that in as far as the country is concerned, we're talking about the quadruple diagnosis, which is maternal child, women's health and nutrition, as well as TB and HIV management, chronic non-communicable diseases, and also talk about virus and gene injuries. Now, in our case, due to the study that revealed that Free State is second to Western Cape in as far as anxiety disorders at 21.5, mood disorders at 14.6%, substance abuse at 15.5, and all disorders at 7.5. We then decided this is a not really a forgotten vein of disease, but perhaps there was a little bit of an oversight in that regard, particularly at this stage. That's why we even went that route. As far as the introduction and background is concerned, the environment within which the Free State Department of Health operates in the province is such that we provide comprehensive healthcare based primary health care principles built around the district health system framework, utilizing the health system governance and accountability model. And I'll touch on that model later on. Check. The provincial office and the four district offices start the network within the district of. Within the district municipal boundaries, manage the healthcare in widely distributed and appropriate health facilities with the support of an effective referral system. The referral system makes use of a free commuter transport network to transport patients between the primary, the secondary, the tertiary, and central care facilities. Most of the facilities are in the sensitive physical condition, upgraded and maintained within limited budget allocation, and a few new facilities are commissioned based on community needs and available funds. The existing hospitals are regularly reviewed and upgraded under the hospital revitalization plan to meet the changing needs of the community. All facilities, some more than others, need better improvement in physical structure and equipment in order to achieve the goal accessible, comprehensive, and quality healthcare for all in the preparation for the national health insurance. Now, this is the model that I was looking to research and often you'll hear that we should not, and perhaps this is one of the things that I learned when I got into the province, that we should not operate in silos. So I'm not trying to say the manner in which you operate is in silos, that's the picture there. But all I'm trying to say here is that we have a clearly delineated service offering where you have the tertiary central hospital, which is under the CEO, and the CEOs, of course, and then we have four regional hospitals, Free State Psychiatric Center, which is also under the CEO. Now, in these two sites, if I may put it that way, that's where you have your training, the training platform, and of course, these are the areas where outreach is being performed. The second three silos, which are interconnected, by the way, also are your 24 district hospitals and the large PHC, and we also have the district health services, where you have the health post clinics, small clinics, contracted GPs, and mobile clinics. And then, still under the district health services, you have your ward-based outreach teams, the home-based care activities, school health teams, and the average teams. And then you then have the community. Now, what we're trying to show there is that at the bottom, if you look at the red line that is pointing both directions, that is the EMS, which plays a pivotal role in terms of how we manage this silos. And we also have, we call it the integrated program management. And of course, there are pillars that are used in terms of leadership and governance, finance, HR, information management, service delivery, and change management. And of course, we have to make sure that we achieve this within the, we have to be economically efficient and effective in achieving more. Now, Free State, as you would know, Chair, has got four districts and a metro, which is listed at Midtown Kutanya in the east region of Kutsura, in the west northwest, Harit in the south. And of course, it has more centrally Mangaung metro. Service platform is such that the primary healthcare facilities are not driven with limited support from medical professionals and focused mainly in the preventative care and treatment of minor ailments. The district hospitals are doctor driven and along with the pre-hospital care component of the emergency care try to meet the healthcare needs of the whole population, specifically the uninsured population. As indicated earlier, the secondary and patient care facilities are in good condition and being upgraded regularly. The quality, quantity, and skill needs of human resources in the province are critical in service delivery. The staff establishment of the department is regularly reviewed to meet the needs and incorporating various professional groups, management, and support staff. The private sector is also contributing substantially towards the healthcare in the province, especially the insured population. for Tantra Islam practitioners. And the department has initiated plans to regulate this important service. Meetings are still being conducted with relevant leaders. And lastly, the private hospitals, which are regulated by the provincial department, are able to attract needed expertise to provide curative care for the people of the Free State and neighboring provinces, which is the Kimberley and Francisco. Now, Chair, just to quickly indicate in terms of facilities that we have in the province. We as we have indicated, we have the four districts plus the metro, where we have about 210 these facilities, and they are indicated according to their districts and non districts which are 69 in number. We have PhDs which are 10 in the province, district hospitals as indicated area, we have 3-4 of them. Regional hospitals, we have 4. We have 1 tertiary hospital. We also have 1 psychiatric hospital, 1 SDR unit, and 2 SDR units. We have 1 central hospital. All these facilities checked are looking at after the population of 2.2 billion, which is about 82% of the 2.7, which is uninsured population. Just quickly to share with the committee and chair as to the private facilities license to provide mental health services in the province. We have those that are responsible for or that are rendering services on acute broadcast psychiatric, and most of them you see are in the Mount Metro, and also showing the number of beds that they have, which were increased over the years. In terms of the legislative mandate and relevant norms and standards check, the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa 1996, Act number 8 of 1996, Section 2718, includes the following areas. Everyone has a right to have access to health care services, including reproductive health care, national health policy guidelines for improved mental health in South Africa. The Mental Health Care Act was enacted in 2002 and promulgated in December 2014. It includes the following areas: access to mental health care, including access to the least specific care, rights to mental health services, consumers, family members, and other caregivers, competency, capacity, and guardianship issues for people with mental illness, voluntary and involuntary treatment, accreditation of professionals and facilities alike, law enforcement, and other judicial system issues for people with mental illnesses, mechanisms to oversee the involuntary admission and treatment practices, and mechanisms to implement the provision of mental health legislation. In continuation of the legislative mandate and other non-standard check, we also have the Criminal Procedures Amendment Act 65 of 2008, Child Justice Act, Act 25 of 2008, Sexual Offences Act, Act 87 of 2007, the Children's Act, Act 88 of 2005, National Mental Health Policy Framework 2003-2020, Child and Adolescent Mental Health Policy Guidelines. Relevant norms and standards that we have here is norms for people with severe psychiatric conditions, standards for mental health care in South Africa, norms for community-based mental health care, norms for child and adolescent mental health care services. I thought it was important that we include this chair because we also need to remind ourselves the policies and legislation that we operate within. Now, in terms of the what I meant to the area, in terms of the presentation outline, the basic implementation of the establishment of mental health care directly in the province. We've given priority to establish a fully functional mental health directory. Funds for appointment of senior management, chief director for police-based mental health services, adolescents, and substance abuse and support have been allocated as follows. We have 3.9 million for compensation of employees. We also have 2 million for business services. Currently, personnel has been assigned as acting senior manager and support services. We are in the process of course, filling in the intended funded posts. The multidisciplinary mental health specialist team consisting of psychologists, occupational therapists, social worker, and professional nurses with qualification in psychiatry has been appointed. project in town, and to enhance mental health care services. With funding provided, similar teams will be rolled out in other four health districts in the province. There are five district mental health coordinators, one in each district, to ensure the integration of the mental health services and the implementation of mental health program at all levels of care. There is also an effective mental health policy of the 3 years that is duly appointed. Now, Chair, if we now come and zoom into the specialized psychiatric hospital, I think I mentioned earlier, Chair, that this is the only mental health hospital in the province. And of course, that's how it looks outside. I know, Chair, regularly visit the province, and I'm sure you've gone past this. And all the members. Now, the services that are provided at the FSPC, as indicated earlier, this is the only special recognition hospital in the future province designated in terms of the Mental Health Effect 17 of 2002. It is also designated as Care and Rehabilitation Center for persons with severe and profound nature of intellectual disability. Admission, care, and observation services for persons referred by court for psychiatric observation as well as treatment, rehabilitation for state, patients, and mentally ill prisoners under the Criminal Procedure Amendment Act 65 of 2008 is included in the Program 4 of the Provincial Department of Health. Now, in terms of bed allocation, the hospital is commissioned for 837 beds, and currently the beds that are in use. Apologies, 760, and I'm sure the Chair will see in the next slide as to what the best allocation rate is. In 14-15, we had an average of about 90%. In 15-16, we had an average of 80%, and currently we are sitting at 91%. Notice that February and March have not been included because the figures are still coming, but the average on those is 91%. The inpatient services, which are observation services and forensic services, the observation, the purpose of the service is that observation inpatient services of people who have committed a crime referred by court for 30 days, observations regarding the person's mental status in order to determine whether the person is trial able and or accountable for the crime committed. Outpatient observation services, here is short court referrals for adults, adolescents and children, short court referrals for victims of crime. Forensic services is inpatient care treatment and rehabilitation services of patients referred by court of law as state patients after found not child able and or not accountable in court. In terms of in continuation in the chair, the other services are acute psychiatric services, long-term psychiatric services, care and rehabilitation care services, care and rehabilitation center services. Now the purpose is outlined in there as well. We also provide outreach services from that psychiatric hospital, and I'm sure Rob will be able to talk to that later stage if required to do so. The services here are clinical psychology services, occupational therapy services, social work services, and that the purpose thereof is also in the intervention. Outpatient services continue. We have child mental health care services, substance prevention and addiction services, adult outpatient services. And the purpose for the services are also outlined there. District support services, are still the outreach services, the 24-hour telephone consultation and liaison services. And of course, the tables for the services are also outlined there. The clinical support services, we have physiotherapy services and the pharmacy services. I just want to touch on the pharmacy services where the collaboration exists between pharmacy staff and other staff in the multidisciplinary team to ensure safe prescribing, ordering, storage, and dispensing of medication. It also provides objective, consistent, and valuable information to all the health professionals. And I'm emphasizing on that because it's one critical aspect of the services that we're talking about today, which is mental health care services. In general hospitals, we do Mero as regional hospital, Mukumani Manapo, Mubeni as well, and we have district hospitals, which is represented by the district and our independent, or sorry, my apologies. The regional hospitals, we have Mitu Mero and we have Mukumani Manapo. The district hospitals, we have the district hospitals in Bedlegadi and our independent. In total, the number of beds are in KJ, as you can see. Which is 47 and 30 respectively. And of course, in the main, the roles and responsibilities are provision of inpatient care to voluntary assisted and voluntary patients, involuntary patients, which is assessed through our assessment, emergency, and further involuntary care treatment and rehabilitation. Here we also provide designated detoxification sites, provision of secondary level outpatient services, referral of complicated treatment-resistant cases to patient services, down referral of people's management plan of patients that may be managed at primary healthcare level, provision of support to the district hospitals in fulfilling their responsibility in terms of mental health care through the structured outreach program and telephonic consultation services. In as far as psychiatric in our hospital, other than the above, we've mentioned that the different we do provide those services that are on your far right. And these are district hospitals in the main. Vendor study is Mapuwe district hospitals, Mawuru district hospitals, Farai district hospitals, Kuro district. In the you have five of them as they are indicated there. We also have Mangawung, which is Pironomi Tertiary Hospital, the Kabelo district. Of the JS Crocker District Hospital and National District Hospital. The services continue in other districts. We do have district hospitals in Tamukutayana and other districts who are also rendering some services that are just referred to here. Now, Chair, I did not call and I. It was never my intention, or it will never be my intention, to come here and paint a picture that says the Free State Department of Health, everything is all hunky dory in as far as mental health care is concerned. And I thought it was important that we also lifted the challenges and of course, the indicated recommendations or the mitigating effect of life in place to make sure that we deal with challenges. We have infrastructure challenges where in the forensic services observation and state patient facilities are concerned. This was the largest non-compliant legislative mandate. The facility is dedicated, no provision of adolescents separate from adults, and we're dealing with that matter. In fact, what we have done, Chair, is that in terms of budgeting for infrastructure, we have said that, and I'm sure colleagues from National Department of Health will agree with me, we have said that we're going to put the greater chunk of our budget towards maintenance, upgrades, and refurbishment as opposed to building. So we will definitely make sure that this facility is upgraded to the level where it can comply with the legislative mandate. The district facility, the facility also has a problem. And the problems are more or less the same, and we are going to be zooming into this area as I indicated. And these are also the challenges that we have in other areas where the deficiencies have been noted there, and we are also indicating how we're going to be dealing with this challenges. The facility for general psychiatric service and inpatient child and adolescent is also dedicated due to long outstanding programs, which we are now going to be dealing with. The design and layout of the building does not meet the sum of the standards of inpatient child and adolescent services, and we are mitigating as far as they've indicated there. There's also an great finding in as far as this mental health is concerned. The Christian psychiatric complex in our case is not yet recognized as a specialized hospital, and therefore it's also not participating on the national special services grant, which is something that we are currently discussing to make sure that we meet that. And that will assist us, of course, because that grant will then come in handy to assist us in terms of making sure that we comply. There's also a challenge of billing of services in terms of revenue collection. We don't have an agreed billing system for forensic outpatient services. And of course, we're in discussion with the national in terms of finding a proper revenue collection system, and this is going to hopefully be implemented soon. In terms of human resources, we have a challenge check with the retention of social workers, and then this is due to issues like your outstanding or the implementation, which we also are dealing with that, but we are also in the process of filling those posts that have been vacated. There's also a scarcity of professional networks with advanced psychiatric qualification. And I would say to them, look, when you come to me with a list of networks that you want to train, I would want to see a reflection of those areas where we have shortages. It should not be that we go and train people and have an abundance of people in, for instance, in advanced surgery, without necessarily indicating or implying that it's not important. But if there's a shortage, of course, as far as mental health is concerned, we need to deliberately make sure that we get people to go and train for that. And of course, we have high vacancy rates of nurses and support staff. We are in the process of filling this post check. At the primary healthcare level, in terms of your community health centers and local clinics, we have six clinics in the place that we have about 34 of them, non-peak 12, and in Lijoli Kuzwa there's 44, and non-peak 11, Mangaumi is 40, and we have 10 non-peak. County Panyana is 22, and then 34 non-peak. Harupi is 20, and then 12 non-peak. The roles and responsibilities here are running locally based in our prevention and promotion programs, screening and counseling less severe mental disorders, referral of users that do not respond to management plans. And of course, we also have challenges here as well. Patient care system is mostly manual, not electronic patient care system. We are also trying to make sure that we establish a patient electronic the psychiatric services in general hospitals and district mental health services, the roles and responsibilities, Chair, if you may just share. In an outpatient care and treatment of patients manageable at primary health care levels, provision of 72-hour assessment for involuntary admission, referral to of complicated and treatment. Treatment of resistant patients to secondary level services, support to these clinics in fulfilling their functions in terms of mental health care, and implementation of patient management plans required by practitioners. Infrastructure regarding the design and outlay of facilities, exclusion of and observation rooms to be established, and some upgraded in the general hospital to address safety of patients. Referral and linkage system, the proposed outpatient referral system to be implemented. Coming now to the most interesting part, which is your mental health review board. We do have an effective mental health review board appointed in terms of the Mental Health Care Act 17 of 2002. And in terms of compliance, I think we do comply in this regard. There are contracts. The board was appointed as of the 1st of May 2014, and their contract is ending now in 2017, and their process is already in place to make sure that upon the the end of that contract, we are negotiating to appoint the MEC. We have appointed 10 members that were divided into two teams. One team is responsible for the southern three states, that is Metro Harim District, and the other team is responsible for north and east three states, the eastern three states, the Zeta, and Tawang. Now, in terms of performance and report of this mental health report, they in total had about 39 meetings during 2015-2016 financial year. They've reviewed about 1,405 documents. Periodic report documents reviewed were 404. MNE meetings were 8, and there were no updates in that regard. In 2014-15, they had 46 meetings. They produced documents, the total of 1,308. Periodic report documents reduced 520, MNE is 21, and there were no actions. Private facilities licensed to provide mental health services. We have in total 5 facilities licensed in terms of regulation under 2014. They provide services for admission of voluntary mental health care users in the province. Such private facilities must forward their application for approval to the head of provincial department of health according to the general health legislation. The Ministry of Health is responsible for approval of establishment of private health facilities, but may delegate the function to the head of health, as is the case in our province. Standard compliance office in the department conducts annual monitoring evaluation assessment. Follow-up inspections are done annually and when required, and ad hoc inspections or unannounced inspections are done as and when required and necessary. Collaboration with the Department of Social Development. Chair, the Department of Health and Social Development are working together to ensure effective management of mental health care services in the province. Both MECs of Health and Social Development have a meeting that is due to discuss and sign the MOU for collaboration to ensure provision of safe facilities and quality service provision and make sure that there is compliance in that regard. The 40 bedded halfway house in Sarah is managed by Social Development will be catering for adolescents recovering from substance abuse. It will be opened in a new financial year. The service is expanded with an additional rehabilitation center in Butaro, which is currently under construction. In this regard, the Department of Health will provide certification services at the designated hospital. Community health services, NGOs, and NPOs. According to Mental Health Act Section of 2002 Regulation 43, states that any service not directly run under the auspices of the organ of state and which is not designated as a hospital but which provides residential or daycare facilities for 5 or more people with mental disorders in terms of the act should obtain a license from the provincial Department of Health consent to operate and be subjected to at least an annual audit by designated officials from the provincial department consent. Now, there are 6 NGOs registered with social development check, and none of these 6 are registered in health. The monitoring and support visit to the above mentioned NGOs providing psychiatric services is done yearly according to Mental Health Act number 13 of 2002. There are also 55 NGO licensed by social development, and when this challenge of housing happened, we had already instructed the officials in the department that they should go out and look at all these NGOs in the province and make sure that in terms of them complying, that has been dealt with. And we are going to do that with in collaboration with social development. And we have a checklist that we are using to do that. So there is still a process. These NGOs are there, and most of them we are very not satisfied in terms of how they look like. And we are definitely going to close some of them down. Thank you very much, Chair. But maybe before I thank you, Chair, and all members, I also need to indicate that these NGOs are operating in a manner or in such a way that we would have discharged patients from our facility. And these patients would then go home, and their families would then decide on their own that they are going to take the patients to these NGOs as registered with social development. But we then saw that as a gap in that we need to make sure that we have systems in place that will actually track these patients down, all the way down, if we are serious about making sure that we contain the situation. So that is where we are at. And thank you very much for listening, Chen.
We will check and see if there are any other questions before.
Thank you, Chair. Now, Chair, I think one thing that we want to place in front of the committee that we must look at it very carefully is the social development dealing with these people alone. And when everything has happened, then it comes back to the department. I think there should be a way where we are pinning down social development that the health department should be, they can carry that for social purposes and whatever, but presently that is not the case. And then social development does its own way of humanly accommodating those people on a humane basis. But I don't think that should be the case. Maybe the memorandum of understanding will make it better, but if nationally we have a way that the first should be the Department of Health, then last should be social development, then it would be better because we have a check of what is happening there. Rather than social development, when everything has collapsed, then the Department of Health has to pick up the pieces there. But Chair, the other most important thing is that I think all over where program members are going to go, we have a problem of infrastructure maintenance throughout the country. And I think we have decided to have an appetite on maintenance and revamping of the facilities in the province. Because those facilities, as you leave them, then they collapse. It's more costly to go and build them rather than maintaining those buildings. Provinces like in the Eastern Cape and the Free State or not China, we're going to have a protracted struggle for attainment of quality people that are needed to give provision of services to this institution. Because there are pull factors and a push factor. The pull factor in Gauteng is that it's nice everything and the Devon and Cape Town. But the push factor is that we only have one national policy probably that deals with how you incentivize those who are in the rural areas. And I said to the HOD, I think we must have our own as a province in complementing the one of the national, so that what is our strategy to retain and attract them in the rural area like in the Free State, apart from this national norm of the national of incentivizing them for making them to go to the rural areas. In Kwamro, nobody will stay there. In Tabashi, nobody will stay there. But we must do something that they too, at the high level of professionalism, they must be able to be attracted and be retained in those areas. Then begin to make a mark in this institution and help in particular. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. I just want to because my understanding is that you have the invitation that I signed was an invitation that was inviting both the Department of Health and the Department of Social Services. And the reason for that is precisely because we are exactly what you're saying. How do we ensure that there is that understanding? Because you will know that the social development, they are dealing with in particular free care in this area. And when there is this place, people that are trained, at the end, they are more than in mental health, in nature, whatever. And I think that is a very important point, that how they can ensure that we move together with the social development, and maybe with other departments as well, in particular, SAPS and of course, I will hand over the mic to honorable members, and then to honorable Vice Chairman, honorable James, honorable Mr. James, honorable Mashali. No, I'm sorry, honorable Mashali, I heard that what I said. So then, the last one, honorable Mashali.
No, thanks. Let's welcome the report and the presentation that has been done by the MC and the HO team. I just want to get a few clarity, second questions for the presentation for my own understanding. It's just to get, I didn't get clearly, how many mental health facilities do you have? Just clarify them properly. I know I've heard that you've got one in Adalosa. How many primary or outpatient clinics? Child adolescence or outpatient clinics do you have in terms of child adolescence and others? And then the day treatment centers, if you've got any, and how are they located in the whole province? And then do you have a community residential facilities? Coming to human resource, I didn't get it exactly how I just hear that they've got the challenge of human resources without going on to categorization of the state of human resources in relation to mental health in the province. Each category, so that we are able to understand which category you are having challenges and what plan are you putting in place to address that particular challenge that you might have. And then the other issue is around the question of your mental, your review board. I just want to understand the effectiveness. You're saying now you're effective board, and you are determining the effectiveness in terms of meetings. We are not saying anything beyond meetings. And you say based on meetings, therefore, it's a performance measure. 29 meetings, that means they're effective. But in terms of the act, there are functions that they're supposed to perform. One would have expected to get education in terms of that function, now they're performing other meetings. Because the act stipulates what are the functions of this. So for us to judge its functionality and its effectiveness, should be based on the functions allocated to them in terms of the Act. We would have loved to hear that focus, not the number of functions. And then on the same matter of the mental health, on the operating point, you have said you have appointed 10 people and then subdivided them into 2. Can you have the same interpretation of the Act? The Act says you appoint not less than 3 and not more than 5 per mental health facility. Or you can cluster them. So you appointed a pool of 10. Can we have the same interpretation about this? Because we might have the legal challenges on this interpretation. If you appoint them 10, that's one goal. Is it in line with the law? Because it says 3 and not more than 5 per unit of the mental health facility. So if you appoint 10, it's a goal. Is it in line with the law? Let's just have the same interpretation of that. And how is it? How is the composition? Because just to understand, we'll understand because the Act is clear how it must be composed. So we want to understand whether that 10 that we've appointed is in line with the Act. Because it does stipulate the composition and everything else. So it's not enough to tell us 10 and then you end there. We'll require that we need to understand the extent to which you have appointed them in terms of the Act. And then you have not said what support are they being given in terms of resources and whatnot, because they are required to be provided that support. I'm raising this in the context of the earlier slide that we've said. We have not yet had a fully functional directory because you are saying you are still in the process of establishing that. And I'm not sure how long this is going to take because it's not even put a timeline. And in terms of the framework, in terms of that national mental policy framework of 2013-2016, was that by now all provinces must have a fully fledged directorate. We are now in 2017, almost 4 years down the line. You still don't have that fully functional territory. And there's a need for the support for the review board. And if you don't have a fully functional territory, that means even that support might be ad hoc. Anyway, it might be ad hoc. And therefore, then if it is ad hoc, then you can't then say the board is effective. I'm just assuming, I don't know because I've not told us. If the support for the review board is ad hoc, because you don't have a full functional directorate, then you have a challenge that you can't therefore be providing the necessary support that is supposed to be provided to the board. And therefore, its effectiveness therefore becomes questionable in a way. But you will clarify it further as you get an opportunity to clarify it, because I didn't get it that second. This plan that is this plan, the National Mental Health Policy Framework Plan,
put that we need to have focus areas or areas that we need to pay special focus on. And there are about 8, 9, 10. And there are about 12 focus areas. Some of them have touched them, some of them have not touched them. You have left, you have only spoken about one of the critical areas, which is monitoring and evaluation. As a matter that is done by the board, but it's not very clear how the board is doing. Just say, you know, they do carry MMD. How are they doing it, and why is it left to the board? What? Because this plan says there must be measures and systems that must be put in place for monitoring and evaluation. Are you telling us that no, the system and measures is about that we are using to monitor and evaluation? Or as a department you have got a monitoring and evaluation system. So that you are able to detect and make sure that the situation similar to the one that has happened in Gauteng doesn't happen. Because if you do have a system and measures in place that you are able to monitor and evaluate from time to time, you will be able to detect whatsoever challenges are there on the ground from time to time and be able to intervene and put corrective measures so that we don't get surprised, all of us, at the end of the day when calamities happen. So I didn't get exactly what systems are there to deal with monitoring and evaluation. The issue of promotion and prevention. I hear that they've got out of steam, but when I look at what roles are they doing, seem to be concentrating on patients, on patients. But there's no promotion and prevention to communities in general. So that we're able, I'm not sure whether you have even done the study and research, what are the main causes of mental illness in the country? Because the mental illness, the causes of mental illness in the Western Cape will not be equally the same as the causes of mental illness in Free State, in Mpumalanga or Gauteng. They will not be the same. So as you then do promotion and prevention, you will then be informed by what are the main causes, and then what measures, promotion and prevention strategies you then put in place to ensure that you engage in advocacy and community outreach and so on, advocates, just to engage the public in general, so that you are able to make sure that you mobilize society together with you and be able to prevent this thing from happening. There are a lot of things that I can place, but it's pretty difficult to other members, to other members to be able to end. Dr. James.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for the presentation. And I'll be quite brief. What is striking in the various sessions that we're having is that although we have a good legislative framework, quite excellent, and we have a good national framework to deal with mental health, the provincial reports vary one to the other, as if there is no common framework of reporting. And one of the things I want to, by the chair, just convey very strongly to the National Department of Representatives here, is that there clearly must be a standard reporting framework, province to province, because then we can't compare one province to the other. The point about vacancy rates and staffing, as my colleague already said, from your report, we cannot make an assessment of how many staff are devoted to the services, what the vacancy rate is, and how you develop a strategy for filling vacant posts. Not only can we not do that for the Free State, we can't compare you to the other provinces. And that's true for performance as well. I mean, typically in my view, the less meetings you have, the better the performance of them all. You shouldn't be stuck in meetings, you should be out there doing work. And you know, attending meetings is not a performance measure. So we need a common standard, common reporting, and then we'll be able to judge what the issues are that require fixing. You're very honest about what your deficiencies are. It's a long list, but it sounds like a classic confession. Like, you make a confession and now what? You must be able to identify what the problems are and you must be ready to fix them. And I don't see much detail. My last point I want to make, and I just want to focus on this as my contribution, and it's the issue of infrastructure and the fact that the infrastructure is crumbling, and I hear what you're saying. And when you visit hospitals across the country, you can see that. Now, infrastructure is usually provided by public works, isn't it? And what this committee, if I am chair, my recommendation would be is we need to engage with public works in terms of infrastructure deficiency, because it's not specific to the Free State. It's a national issue that requires attention. And when infrastructure collapses, especially for mental health facilities, it creates terrible impressions, it's not right. Hospitals must be up to scratch in terms of what they look like. But what concerns me about your comments about infrastructure is that it seems to me they have been planned, but in the past, perhaps there was budget in the past, but I have no sense of what the detail is around the infrastructure that you need, the maintenance service that you require, what the budget for that is, what the progress has been over the last 20 years in terms of meeting targets. All we hear from you is that it's coming infrastructure, and obviously you're quite right in saying that. But we don't have a sense, I certainly didn't have a sense of how what the performance has been like and how you will proceed to fix it. And so I certainly would like to hear that.
Thank you, Chair, for your permission. And also, want to welcome the presentation. And actually, my colleagues, the very large number of you, in the summer, the questions I have. Specifically, human resources, because you can't do anything without human resources, like the engine of the and I also want to compare with other fish who felt that we really need, as a province, to have a fully fledged directorate which focuses on human with own mental health. Because if we have that in place, maybe they do fight for mental health, you know, whether it's human resource, budgeting, planning, you know, everything that are in challenges currently, they will really, you know, focus on it and find ways of dealing with it. My other concern was, what is happening with those people who are requiring you for the first, now that, you know, there's this, unwillingness of psychiatrists, you know, people that want to, social workers, you know, specialized nurses who do special service to human to mental health. How do you deal with that? to send your mobile. I mean, just want to understand what happens around there. Because I can imagine what those communities are affecting. Because I think it would really want to know if not require for me. Again, the 55 NGOs that are run by social development. This is the big problem of these two departments, the health and social. They should be working together. Because some of the patients who are sitting in the facility, health facility, are supposed to be social development. And some of, you know, these two should really find ways and make sure that they work together. And I'm surprised that they're not here today, because we thought probably they'd be here so that we can have some questions around how the working relationship is between the two of them. And also, my other concern, biggest concern was you know, the facilities for adolescent children. What happens to those families and those children? What do you do? How do you? I just cannot, I don't know how that happens there. Because currently the country has a huge problem of drug abuse. Alcohol and drug abuse, which is largely the poorest area. I don't know how to find myself taking care. So this seven is to access health, mental health. How do they do it? Are you in primary health clinic? We have to train nurses now that they pick up, you know, from when they are tracking from the urine that this child or this particular patient is abusing either alcohol or drugs. Have you got that? You know, because we want to proactively train and be ready for anything in our community. And currently, I don't find most of the problems with that, you know, because you can't find any interest of me or anything, or I don't know. I know also think of, because of the lack of facilities for the children in that way, of beginning to do an outpatient rehab within your clinic, where this particular child or teenager would come on a daily basis. Probably have, you know, in the Western Cape Metro, we have the major clinics, which are within the clinic, where we holistically, you know, assess the child or this patient. You know, whether it's TB, because I like the fact that you have TB, or whether it's whatever, HIV, but make sure that this person is holistically assessed and within the clinic, because we talk of having a standalone facility and people finding it, you know, stigmatizing that, you know, mad people are going or whatever. But it's within the clinic, as much as they're few. But that's something that we should look at as a problem to, you know, just to make access, you know, give access to these poor families, these families within the community. Because, you know, taking a drug attached young person to a clinic, I think, you know, where do you start? What do you tell the nurse? You know, this is something also that I feel that promotion, you know, awareness on the communities is very important. They know that there's this problem, and we, as you, as a problem, this is what you offer. Bring your children to the clinic. We have, you know, this and just, you know, that kind of delivering service to the poor. Because I feel as much as a stepchild still, because there's no director that focuses, that fights for it currently. But you need to have different ways of addressing. And I'm also worried that these 55 NGOs that people design themselves after you've discharged a person, Because they still feel that there's a problem. I had a problem that the family hasn't been partially, I don't know whether the family is involved when you're going to discharge, but this person is able to do A, B, C, D, and this is how you can, you know, if anything happens, I don't know whether there is that kind of giving this family you know, an opportunity to interact with facilities that this patient that is admitted to. I'm just saying that with those NGOs, where they're from social development, you definitely need to work with them as a developer. Because if anything happens there, you if the bus stops with you, anybody will speak. If you want the social development, you will be the Department of Health or State. So find a way of making sure those departments, those NGOs, you have a working relationship with them, you understand what's happening, because I think we also need names of these NGOs, so that when you do oversight, you know exactly where to go. So that we also know how many people are at an NGO. And the criteria for them to, you know, we need all this information so that when we do our oversight, we don't end up with 17 unregistered and unlicensed and, you know, all that. We've got to know that before, and so for you also, for you. But if any has anything happens, you know exactly what this is. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. What has been the process in dealing with mental patients? See that you are just rolling out the multidisciplinary district mental health specialist teams, and see that even this team that you have is not yet fully functional and staff, and that there is no money for rolling out the same team to the other four districts. And how long do you think it will take for you to actually have the whole system running without and rolled out in all the other districts? Now, you have a mental health report, which who did they report to and who appointed them? Because there could be some little conflict somewhere. But we will maybe get an answer when you answer this. Who appointed them and who do they report to? Or are they independent or dependent to on somebody who appointed? And something peculiar here about traditional healers, where do they operate and what is this do they handle? Do they operate in your facilities or they just operate under your armpit but somewhere? The word about facilities, I think the armpit that you agree that they are in very bad state of disrepair. I won't repeat. Go into that, it has been answered. The Free State Psychiatric Center, which is not yet recognized as a specialist hospital, that means you have no psychiatric specialist hospital in the Free State. And if there is, which one? Poor retention of social workers because of the OSD implementation impact. How long will this go on when you're bleeding social workers, which you need? And don't you think you should do something urgent to resolve this? Because by the time you resolve it, there will be no social workers, and you will need them. should be actually taken care of urgently. I'm just wondering what role do you play in these 55 NGOs that are registered or what that are run by social development? Are you concurrently running these things together? But it's weird that you are worried about some other things that have got nothing to do with you, unless they've got something to do with you or the cohabitation or I don't know. Then I will get the answer because I'm wondering. Thank you.
Now, thank you, honorable members. We have a few questions and comments from the side. I think Clive and Michelle have said very good. Because when I was listening to the presentation, I was trying to link with the two previous presentations. And I do think that it's serious. There's no proper wealth system, which is really what is in the hope of the fact that myself will lose this. We do understand well, processes, concurrent things or whatever. But here, in the subject of mental health, we are really taking serious and would appreciate if there are some issues that are outlined or affected in a manner that is going to enable us. Because remember that presentations to the committee are not just for the sake of a presentation, but are also a tool that empowers the committee. And I need to say this, the presentation is bothering me to be very technical. I'm raising this because this subject, who likes the subject to be everything to be in detail and possible, so that it assists us to understand. I'll make an example of what I am saying. In the mental health, in the slide that you started with, which in my judgment is 42, the slide that deals that with all disorders, which is under mental health, Free State is the second under five. And we have listed the lighting, mood disorder, substance abuse, and all others. But one would have appreciated if we had known which district is affected the most. Which district is affected the most? The second, that's the question. The second question from my side is that, do you, in empowering health workers, in particular, workforce and home base, do you have a dedicated program? Because remember, these are men and women who go and visit homes. How are they empowered to be able to pick up that there's somebody here who's either mentally ill or who's defaulting and how they, but if they just go in and check for the normal, or should I rephrase, are they just going in and check for the normal? In you looking into the report, have you picked up that around mental health, mental illnesses, those reports are very thin or they are silent on that, so that we are able to pick up where the gap and how then are we to address not only the home base, the mobile, but also communities. But remember, our communities have always been the stigma attached to each of mental health, and how the previous system has always been addressing issues of mental health, mental health patients are put in closed up, away from communities. And the Ministry of Department of Health is encouraging that mental health patients now, when discharged home, and but there is a gap,
but we don't empower our people to understand. So that's why that is where my question is. Where I derive my question from. Maybe we this I will take the outline the areas of focus. We took it from granted that you understand. Also, you have got a high level of mental ill patients that are coming in, others due to this, but you are not telling us that what has been your study or your observation in terms of those that are defaulting and the reason of the default. The role, you understand that our people, they go, if someone is mentally ill, it's just finding me. I wake up and cry a lot. I'm taken to a traditional healer because they think that I'm bewitched. Yet taken to a traditional healer, is there an interaction with you, which is dedicated in focus on, but as much as they go there, how then are traditional healers empowered to encourage their patients, whom you know that are mentally ill, that they must be encouraged to take treatment? I'm raising this because a member of my family is diagnosed with bipolar. He goes to clinic, he's given treatment. You know that bipolar patients are very intelligent and manipulative, don't you? Huh? They're very intelligent and manipulative. He's just been admitted. Every time he's admitted for 6 months, every month he goes into, because when he is in the institution, this week of the 15th, he's very smart, okay, he can be discharged. He goes home, he refuses to take treatment, he goes to the pastor, he will tell that pastor said, I must not take this, and I'm not going to take this treatment because it's in my stream already, it's in my bloodstream. So when I feel that I'm, so I'm saying, we have got those. It's true that you must be affected by a situation that you really understand. So my question is there that our people now are in a space are in a situation where there is a lot of confusion and unfortunately. So the area of which in this district, where has this identified? And if you don't have that information now, fine. We'll have to prepare a proposal in November. I don't think, and my approaches have been corrected. Free State has not been requested to come with the MEC of Social Development. My approaches on that, I thought to come with everything. I could say it will be the MEC. Okay. Well, thank you very much. We will now I will break for tea. Just to 10 minutes break to give you space. We're going to respond at once. We're not going to respect you. So we'll just break for tea and then we'll come back, give you a chance to respond at once.